How's it going? Well, hope you've had a super sporting week. Yep, it's that time of the week again. Thanks for joining us. This is Talking Point. Welcome to it. My name's Trevor Cramer. Now, barring a few mischievous stories doing the rounds in various media outlets, seems like the euphoria of the Rugby World Cup's pretty much settled down, life returning to a measure of normality and the heart palpitations perhaps dying down a little, or so we thought. It's cricket's turn, yep, to get the blood pressure up. The Proteas in action at the Cricket World Cup. Themba Bavuma and his men through to the semi-finals. And it's time again for what we refer to as Africa's Major, the Nedbank Golf Challenge at the Gary Player Country Club layout at Sun City. Joining me on the Talking Point hotline this week, once again, pretty much an all-rounder who, among other beats, keeps us in the loop with matters cricket on our online and print portals at The Citizen. But he also keeps us in the loop on Olympic sporting codes, especially athletics. It's senior citizen sports writer Wesley Bodden. Wes, welcome back. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Trev. Always nice to chat, mate.
And once again, the leader of our pack, a regular on our show in studio with me. He'll be wearing a golf cap this week, the head of citizen sport, Jacques van der Westhuizen. Still a few aching muscles and joints after running the Soweto Marathon last week. Jacques, great to have you with us always. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, Trevor. Good to be here.
Taking guard first this week, Wesley. Now, put your helmet on. Get ready to duck those occasional bounces that might come your way today. All roads, from a South African perspective anyway, leading to the iconic Eden Gardens in Kolkata. And that's on Thursday, November the 16th. It's South Africa versus Australia in the Cricket World Cup semi-finals. Now, I was hoping to steer well clear of this one, Wes, but what an atrocious performance against the hosts and tournament favourites, India, in Pune. Yes, the Proteas had pretty much qualified, but that was a paltry performance that just didn't engender any level of confidence in us that they can go all the way, did it, Wes?
No, it really didn't. You know, they've tried to play it down a lot, talking about how much they've learned from the game. Obviously, that match was played in Kolkata as well. So they're trying to suggest that they've taken a lot of sort of learnings from the match. You know, someone like Marco Jansen, who's bowled so well throughout the tournament and then just kind of came apart against India. And he admitted afterwards that the pressure had kind of got to him and, you know, the noise in the stadium. And that's the kind of thing that they're going to have to deal with in the playoffs, you would expect. So very disappointing from all sorts of points of view. So they seem pretty confident that they'll be able to bounce back from it, and hopefully they can. But, you know, that's kind of going to be hanging over them. And if they do get to the final, it's likely that they're going to have to play India. And, you know, hopefully that those sort of memories don't come back to haunt them.
There seems to be a lingering problem in just getting the balance right at the moment. They won all their games setting targets, and some big ones, it has to be said as well, with some explosive batting performances. But a one-wicket win against Pakistan, bowled out for 207 against the Netherlands, chasing a pretty moderate 246 to win, and now skittled for 83 against India. Sorry, I have to repeat that. Now, let's face it, Wes. It has to be seen as a perceived weakness, is it not? The chase versus setting a target.
Yeah, it's a strange thing, you know, but it definitely does seem to be an issue. It's another thing that they've tried to play down. They have suggested that they're not afraid to chase a target. But I think the concern is that, you know, it obviously suggests that the batters sort of perform well when they're not under pressure. And as soon as they've got a target to chase, they just seem to fall apart. So we can hope that the toss goes our way and that we get to bat first, or, you know, we're just lucky and we get put into bat. But obviously you don't want to rely on those sorts of things to get you through to a trophy. So we'll have to see, hope things go our way, and hopefully they're right. Hopefully they can chase down a total. But yeah, like you say, they haven't proved that yet, and maybe they can do that against Australia.
Looking ahead, Wes, no good harping on the past or dwelling on the negatives. We'll be up against a resurgent Australian outfit in the semi-finals next week. Clearly not the same side in terms of form that were hammered by 134 runs by the Proteas in their tournament opener. Now, they've won five on the bounce, have the Aussies, exhibiting very few weaknesses, but there are some. Given the run-up to the semi-final and the contrasting paths of these two sides that they've taken on the road to the semis, how do you see this one going, Wes? Looks like the toss could play a big role here, but it shouldn't.
Yeah, it shouldn't. But I think it is going to be a close game, honestly. Either way, both teams have had a very similar run-up to the semi-finals. They've both lost two matches. I think Australia have been more consistent. That's sort of on their side. We've been a little bit more erratic, which I think was indicated not only by the loss to the Netherlands, but, you know, when we lost to India, we also got completely thumped. So Australia will probably take some confidence from that, that if they can put pressure on us at the beginning of the game, they might be able to take it away from us. But, you know, when we perform well, and hopefully the batters stand up. Hopefully the bowlers come together. And if they do, nobody, I don't think anybody who watches cricket really wants it to be a boring semi-final. You do want it to be exciting. And I think even though the Proteas have had very kind of up and down matches, I think so far this is probably going to be their closest game of the World Cup if they play well and if Australia play well. So I think we're looking forward to a good game.
One can't help talking about it, can we, Wes? Glenn Maxwell's double ton against the surprise packages Afghanistan. Exhausted, physically broken, but he single-handedly, with his skipper Pat Cummins as a foil, took Australia to victory when they appeared to be down and out. We won't see a knock like that in a hurry again. Ominous for us, perhaps, but that just sums up the Australian spirit, it would seem. Not the first time they've got themselves out of a hole like that. But as Proteas bowling coach Eric Simons put it, it didn't scare them.
Yeah, I suppose it wouldn't scare them because that innings was just phenomenal. But it was sort of anomaly. You know, you wouldn't expect a player like Maxwell, who's really an all-rounder, bats in the middle order, to be able to play that well. But, you know, even though it obviously hasn't scared them, and Maxwell didn't really do anything the last time that we played Australia, it obviously should be a concern, especially the fact that Cummins batted so well as well. You know, if he had lost his wicket, they would have collapsed. And between the two of them, I think it showed how deep Australia can dig when they need to. And I don't feel like South Africa's really showed that. And that is something that you want from a team in a playoff match. You really, when the chips are down, you've got to have someone standing up and delivering. Even if, you know, it takes somebody who bats at six as an all-rounder to come through with a double hundred, sometimes that's what it requires. So, again, South Africa's just going to have to prove to us that they can dig deep if they need to. Unfortunately for us, Australia have already proved that.
Jonathan Trott can nevertheless be very proud of his Afghanistan side. Jonathan Trott, of course, with strong South African connections, but an Englishman right now by passport. They've confounded the critics. They've played well above themselves in the tournament, and until their league match against South Africa, they were still in with a chance of gate-crashing the semi-finals. Now, we've seen it on our website and in print through the week, Wes, but before we wrap this little cricket segment, what would you be telling your charges now if your name was Rob Walter at this juncture?
The same thing that they keep telling us that they're talking about. You know, sticking to the basics, playing good cricket, following through with their plans. They often talk about how much they plan ahead of the game, and they just hope that they execute that plan properly. And they have shown that if they do stick to the basics, they play good cricket, and they follow that plan, it really comes off for them. So I imagine they'll have the same sort of conversations that they've been having throughout the tournament, and I think that's probably the same conversation that they need to have. It's just about making sure that they execute on the day, and ultimately I suppose that's going to come down to pressure. So Rob Walter probably just trying to keep the guys calm and make sure that they're ready. It's going to be a big game.
Wesley Botten, senior sports writer at The Citizen. Thanks for joining us. Your input valued as always, and I'm sure we'll chat to you soon as this tournament gets to the business end. Now, Jacques, sitting here in the corner, thanks for your patience. Let's tee off the golf discussion, but before that, I'm going to ask you to just very, very quickly put a lid on the Rugby World Cup. The focus, as I said earlier, shifts to the United Rugby Championship now. It's been totally under the radar. And just your final word very quickly on the Bok Trophy Parade, And, well, we expected it, Duane Vermeulen's international retirement.
Yeah, Trevor, you know, it wrapped up all very nicely over the last couple of days with that trophy tour. You know, they did it 4 years ago after the 2019 win, and they did it again now. This time it just seems so much bigger and larger, and you know, so many ecstatic fans, hundreds of thousands of them turning out for the box to show their appreciation and show their love, and, you know, on the flip side, the box showing their appreciation as well. So, yeah, a great trophy tour. I think it all went well. Unfortunately, there was a bit of a hiccup. If you saw some of the news reports, that the tour bus had a bit of a crash on the way back to Joburg after the East London leg. Fortunately, nobody was injured. But, yeah, that tour bus took the team all over the place, and wonderful scenes in that. And, yeah, just looking back again, you know, it's a couple of days now, almost 2 weeks since that trophy, you know, was won in France, and still very euphoric and excited about that. So, well done to the box once again, and for all those fans turning out.
Jacques, the Nedbank Challenge, switching to golf. It's known as Africa's Major. From its humble beginnings back in 1980 as a 10-man elite invitational event, the brainchild of the late hotel magnate Sol Kersner, it's now entrenched as a part of the DP World Tour, formerly known as the European Tour, of course. It's evolved into a full field event from its original invitational status. But the burning question is this: is it still the major draw card like it once was, especially since being pushed back to November? Will it regain its sparkle perhaps when it reverts back to the first week in December, when that holiday spirit is in the air?
That's it. I mean, you know, so many questions around this tournament. You know, you've mentioned everything around it and where it comes from, and that December slot when there were a lot of students and school kids could attend. It was an elite field of, you know, 12, 16 players, you know, at most, you know. And it was really a special hyped event, some of the world's best players coming out to South Africa to play in it. Now it's almost a run-of-the-mill tournament, 66-man field playing this year. So it's not even a large tournament. It's still whittled down to 66 players. But it's a normal golf tournament now, part of the DP World Tour. There are a couple of big names there this year, but I don't know if anybody's really a major draw card. That's a thing. And in the old days, you would have really big names coming out, and it was almost like a festival of golf, a big social event. I don't know if that same vibe and spirit and atmosphere is involved anymore, which is a little sad for me. I think South Africans really, you know, saw the Nedbank Challenge, or the $1 million, as it was called, as a big social, you know, entry on their calendar and a big event that they had to go to, that they would watch on TV and follow closely. I don't even know if many people even are aware that it's on this weekend. So that's a bit disappointing for me. But let's see over the next couple of days how many people turn out at Sun City and actually watch the golf.
A sprinkling of American golfers on the list this year, Max Homer and Justin Thomas, amongst the higher profile US PGA players. Hope the trend is shifting in that we'll see more American players on our shores in the future. Lots of European contenders, including defending champion Tommy Fleetwood. But it's becoming a recurring question: what or when will the name of another South African golfer be engraved on that famous Crystal Nedbank Challenge trophy? Taking into account the COVID years, it's now 6 years since a local player won it. That's Brandon Grace. But prior to that, backtracking to 2007, when Trevor Immelman, he's now a very well-known golf analyst, lifted that trophy. Take us briefly through the South African contingent and maybe how you see them faring this week.
Yeah, I think, you know, Brandon Grace is at least, you know, somebody who's done well at Sun City before. As you say, he did win in 2017, the last local winner. He knows the course well. He's played there well before. He's had a fairly decent LIV season. You know, so I suppose with his experience and knowledge of the course and, I suppose, pedigree, he would be the guy that, you know, everybody would look to as leading the South African charge. And he's a good player. I mean, so he's the one guy. And then, you know, there are five other South Africans there. I think probably, you know, Xander Lombard has also done well there before. He led a couple of years ago at one stage, a really good golfer. Henny du Plessis has played a little bit on the LIV Golf Tour. He's been around. Oki Strydom is there. The other one is Louis de Jager. But I don't think these guys are really going to challenge. If they do, it's going to be a surprise. I think the Europeans and as you said, those two Americans, Justin Thomas and Max Homer, they're probably the two that are going to be, you know, up there challenging, and then with a bunch of the Europeans. The South African challenge is not nearly as big as it's been in the past. You know, we look back at guys like Louis Oosthuizen and Charles Schwartzel, even Dean Burmester. There are a number of others, you know, Christian Besaidenhout, who really are regulars on the major tours around the world, who are often competing. And bar Brandon Grace, you know, the other guys, the other South Africans are good players, but they're not challenging regularly on any major tours, really, except maybe in the Sunshine on the Sunshine Tour.
Just listening to the commentators ahead of the start on Thursday, it seems the course is playing very, very long. It's always a tough course, but they're also anticipating somebody or a few players to even go low. Are there any other players who stick out for you, perhaps, Jacques, as potential winners? And just your comment on what you think about what the course holds in the next 4 days.
Yeah, look, it's a tough course in that. It's a long course. I've played it before. I've played it from the tips, actually. It's a really long course in that. But we know that the scoring has generally been good at Sun City in the past. It's a course that, you know, if you're hitting it well, you can really score nicely. Most of those par fives, if you're hitting it well, you can get on in two. So the opportunity is out there. There's no doubt about that. I don't know. I think it's a, you know, looking at that field, it looks very open to me. Obviously, they're better name players and, you know, guys who've won around the world more than others in that. I think it's very open. I don't know if anybody can specifically be called a favorite going in. You know, you've got Justin Thomas, Max Homer. I like Max Homer. He's had a great year, and he's a guy to definitely keep an eye on. If I had to really put my money on anybody, it would probably be him. But he is a first-time visitor, and often first-timers struggle as well. So let's see how he goes. Obviously, Justin Rose, you know, is one to keep an eye on. Robert McIntyre, who was part of the European Ryder Cup team. You know, there are a couple of guys there that, you know, can really, you know, play good golf if they get it going. So not too sure about, you know, a number of favorites. Let's see after the first, second round where things are and who sort of gets used to the course. I think there are a couple of quite a number of first-timers. So let's see how it goes for them. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's either Max Homer or one of those well-known Europeans who come out on top on the Sunday.
Jacques, thanks for your input. Always great to have you on board. But before I let you go, it's our weekly Flop and Gold Star of the Week feature. You saw it coming. Let's look at my flop of the week quickly. It goes to Video Assisted Referee, VAR.
You suck!
Yep, it's a technological aid, but it's just going too far right now. It's totally undermining the judgment and integrity of the on-field officials. And as we've seen this week, there are so many flaws and some glaring inconsistencies and errors when it comes to VAR. And my gold star, well, that goes to, it's not a tough one. We'll be watching the replay for eternity, an entire highlights reel dedicated to one single cricketer. No contest. My gold star of the week goes to the Australian batsman, Glenn Maxwell. A magnificent match-saving and match-winning, it has to be said, double century for Australia against Afghanistan. Jacques, how are you looking?
Yeah, Trevor, I mean, I can't disagree with you. I think Glenn Maxwell's innings was phenomenal. I watched it from the very first ball as well, actually. I had it on in the background and, you know, at any stage, I thought, well, he's going to get rolled over and go out, and the game would be wrapped up. And it just didn't happen, and it didn't happen, and it went on, and eventually they won the match. It was amazing to watch, and well done to him, and well done to Pat Cummins for supporting him so well. It was just incredible. And then my flop goes almost predictably to the Proteas. That was just a very poor performance. They don't, you know, they can't have any excuses for that. And if they really want to win the World Cup and be serious contenders, they can't get rolled over for 80-odd. That was extremely disappointing. And like Wesley said, you know, earlier on, hopefully they can, you know, bank that, put it behind them, forget about it, but have learned from it at least, and take that pressure on board and you know, make it count to their advantage if they have to. How they do that, I'm not sure. But, yeah, you can't be a World Cup contender and losing one of their key important games and going out by 80, you know, for 80 runs.
That's where we'll wrap it. You have yourself a great sporting week with the Citizen as your companion, both online and in print. Jacques van der Westhuizen, Head of Citizen Sport, thanks for joining us and sharing your wealth of sporting knowledge as per usual. Also, once again, to our panelist, you heard him earlier on the Talking Point Hotline this week, Senior Citizen Sports Journalist Wesley Botten. Thanks very much, guys. My name's Trevor Kramer. This has been Talking Point. You'll find us on citizen.co.za. Click on the multimedia subsection, podcasts, or you can click on sport. Or why not follow Citizen News on Iono FM. You'll also find the Talking Point video podcast on the Citizen's YouTube account. Go check it out and subscribe. Have an awesome sporting weekend. From me, Trevor, take it easy.